All right, so now there is Wine Cellar Live. Sounds fun. Sounds exciting. I think you're excited. I'm pretty excited myself. Totally fucking jazzed. So it is Tuesday morning, Wine Cellar. And it is July 3rd, 2018. And folks, it may see I'm using the Facebook Live Creator. And I'm not good at that. I didn't even consider the fact that that if I turned it that way, then I thought that all those effects I added would also be, you know, they would turn up sideways. They are not. So, I should do a better job at Facebook Live creatoring and creatorify in a better way than this. All right, so what in the holy heck darn do we have going on? Trans rights. I say trans rights when I should probably come up with more words than just rights, right? Border patrol agents. And a little fundraiser action going on with some folks out there. People are having a gosh darn good time. And then the New York Post has a post up. And I think that they may be in error. Just maybe, just possibly, they could be in error. Trigger warning action. Can you dig it? I think you can. All right, let me go on over here. And blow this darn thing up. So there's a fundraiser for trans migrant women with Megan Fally. All right. So I just I gotta look and find this stuff. If anybody knows anything like this, like any events for trans women doing art, any damn thing, trans women that want to speak, link them up to me. Link me to them. All right. So in their fundraiser, they have the description. It's an evening of social justice themed poetry, music, and dance to fundraise the bond money for these asylum seeking migrant trans women who need to get out of their ICE detention centers. Upon which they have pro bono lawyers waiting to help them. And there is a link below. And once the money is raised, they can be free within 24 hours. The continued in the description is, we are blessed to be joined by slam poet celebrity Megan Fally. Her words are fire. Come on out to hear her and the other artists and support a critically important cause for the LGBTQ immigrant community. It is 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, July 14th at the Naropa Performing Arts Center. Ah, shoot, I don't have, okay, there we go, location. Naropa University, 2130 Arafo Avenue in Boulder, Colorado, 80302. And they have a link to the map there. All right, and that's Arafo Avenue, Arapaho Avenue. Woo, I got the glaucoma. Arapaho Avenue, Arapahoe Avenue, Boulder, Colorado, 80302. And they have a link to the map right under that address post. And they have a refund policy, no refunds. And it looks like tickets are 15. Ooh. Excuse me. Tickets are $15. And at the GoFundMe, they are moving along. $3,731 of a $7,500 goal. All right. And I have to fill out my info so I can kick in over on it myself. And it will we get this link up here. All right, so let's, you know, got the running series of obituaries. Let's also try to, you know, work with and help trans women while they're alive, instead of just, you know, being like, oh shit, someone's been murdered again. Let's try to help them while they're alive and keep them alive. All All right. Oh, excuse me. So what in the holy heck darn's going on here? Let me check my decibalerinos. Good. Very much so. Oh, excuse me. All right. Well, and there's also a DC regional trans ladies community event. It says trans ladies, which I typically use the word women or girls for very small people. But it says the DC regional trans ladies community event. This is a it looks like they're a meetup group, and they come together and they have a good time. It's a Candyland pool party, Rehoboth in Delaware. And you can find those folks. You just have to if you're local to them, you can probably get down with the meetup group. And they have a what we're about section. It says this is a central group in the Washington D.C. regional area for transgender women. They have crossdressers listed, bi-gender, gender fluid, and transsexuals, and their partners and families, allies and friends as members. This community site is designed for you to network, learn, grow, and come together socially in safe, trans-friendly venues. So whatever interest or needs that you have as a trans lady, you should be able to find it in joining us here. However, we do not accept admirers as members, though they are welcome to events noted as such. On this trans women community site, the different trans groups in the metro area post their events and activities here as do individual members who are going out to or hosting events. Below is a photo of one of our recent community-wide, SOIRES, which we hold regularly at the Marriott Hotel Lounge at Fair Oaks in Fairfax. The broad range of social and intellectual events are wonderful opportunities to dress up and have fun, socialize, build friendships, share, explore, expand, and celebrate our femininity together in safe and enjoyable settings. It is also an opportunity to discover and integrate your feminine side and learn about cross-dressing, being gender fluid, or full-time transsexual. We offer trainings and support so that you can begin making strides in developing and comfortably expressing your natural feminine side. It is our orientation that the more often we come out and socialize together, the more comfortable and confident we become in integrating these parts of ourselves. We encourage to become members here, those who are transgender, either emerging crossdressers, bi-genders, or transsexual, as well as our significant others and spouses, any friends and allies, and come join us in our posted events. All right, so you can you can check those folks out. I don't know if I can see if there's a comment section, because even that is sideways in this Facebook creator. Yeah, every gosh darn thing is sideways. They're killing me, Smalls. All right, so again, you know, we're still gonna cover, you know, the murders, the violence. Jesus Christ, like, that is constant and consistent and global. But, hey, what if we also got down with them like they're the homies while they're alive? Like, Jesus Christ. You know, like, on some level, it's like we're being inherently exclusionary until niggas is dead. That's fucked up. All right, I know I am. You know, I've been failing hard. Corey Bush is an individual running for office, and I don't know much about Corey Bush except that Corey Bush seems to be pretty rank and file Democrat, but is going viral because of a post about body shaming, and that's it. and that kind of stuff can be that. That's how you get a dangerous candidate. When you get a candidate and you don't know what the fuck they're about. Like, if all they're about is just getting that check and being successful and just playing the game, then you're gonna get an Obama again, you know, or really a Bush. You're just gonna get the same uniparty shit. So I'd like to know more about Cori Bush, other than the fact that Cori Bush says body shaming exists. Like, is Cori Bush about that drone strike? Like, what's really good? You know, is Cori Bush about that quantitative easing? Right? Like, what's really going on? All right, yeah, I'd like no more. And that's C-O-R-I Bush. Like, where's Cori Bush on the Nordic model? Hmm? Where's Cori Bush on trans rights? You know, yeah, I mean, this might be some homophobic, transphobic old church nigga. I don't know. I don't know this nigga. And I looked at the homie's website. I ain't see shit about anything I care about. Where's Cori Bush on $22 minimum wage somewhere? $15 an hour minimum wage. I know there's people out there that are like, my business can't handle that. And it's like, well, nigga, my life can't handle capitalism. Looks like you should have capitalism better. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Looks like you fail. How about you work harder? You can't afford to pay your staff $15 an hour minimum wage? Looks like you have to come out of the office and you need to work too, motherfucker. All right. Yeah, no empathy for the capitalists. They can go fuck themselves. And, Border Patrol agents say they're being harassed and threatened. Ooh, and it looks like we might have a little audio here from KVU. That's KVUEABC. And I don't know which state or city that is representing.
Caught in the middle of the border debate. Tonight we're taking you to the front lines, exposing a piece of the immigration story no one else is talking about. Border Patrol agents say they're being threatened and harassed.
But that is not all. Our Melissa Correa is the first reporter to uncover some serious harassment against agents in South Texas. Exactly what are they dealing with, Mel?
Oh my goodness. Serious harassment against agents in Texas. Hell, these guys are being seriously harassed.
Yeah, I am hearing from more than a half a dozen Border Patrol agents who say they are getting harassed and threatened because of the responsibility of their job. Several agents are telling me they're receiving phone calls here at the McAllen station. People on the other end of the line calling them Nazi guards, saying...
calling them Nazi guards. Oh, gee willikers, golly gosh, they called them Nazi guards.
They should be murdered. Another Border Patrol agent said...
Yeah, it sounds like more people are ready for some Emperor William. They should be murdered, quite frankly.
As he was followed home by someone, and in that agent's driveway, that person...
Really, so someone's job of whom it is... to find people, follow people, fucking cage people, they got followed. Motherfucker probably has a gun. You ain't scared, nigga. You're a murderous white man.
...and threatened to kidnap the agent's kids. Tonight, being a Border Patrol agent...
Oh no, you might get your kids kidnapped. You mean that your job might happen to you? I know what it's like. Folks that work at McDonald's, they just might eat a burger at Burger King. Holy shit! Your job might happen to you. Enjoy your free market, fuckface. Let's go ahead and even that audio out a little bit there.
It is tough, it is a thankless job, and it is more dangerous than ever before.
We're definitely... empathetic with their plight, and we're not monsters. We're not here to hurt.
Oh, so they pick out a guy who's non-white to be the face of this. Oh, KVU, KVUE, you are a dirty, dirty station. I'm not down with him just because he's not white. Nigga, if you're acting in favor of white supremacy, then he's just a brown coon. Is he Mexican? He's a Mexicoon? Okay then, coon.
Hurt anybody. We're here to help people out while still...
They're here to help people out. Can I hear the people that you've helped tell me how you've helped them? Especially the femmes and the cis girls and women. I want to know how, I want to hear them, with you not in the room, with you away, and they get to be in a safe space and tell how you helped them. I'm looking at this sideways. I think Sam Local left the comment in the comment section. Said, more than half of a dozen ICE agents get called Nazis for acting like Nazis. Boo motherfuck who?
Doing our job.
Right now, with an international spotlight on South Texas, let's get real.
Let's get real. Man, this newscaster is into it.
As a matter of fact, it's not the first time I've seen this surge. Being at the station for 17 years, I've seen several of these surges.
Emergencies in the water.
Veteran agent Luis Rocha was here along the Rio Grande in 2013 when a wave of Central Americans flooded the valley. Same story 5 years later.
We have to stay positive.
Except this time, protesters are rushing to this child processing center. And last...
They call it a child processing center. You know, that sort of soft language. I have a very old episode about that. That sort of soft language. That doesn't sound better. Right? Like, at my job, I process products. All right? People go to the store and buy processed cheese, processed milk. Pretty sure hot dogs are a processed product. So this is a children processing center? That sounds gross. What the fuck process are you putting them through?
Weekend, the crowd became so aggressive, blocking buses with their bodies, yelling and harassing Border Patrol agents who were just trying to do their jobs.
Blocking buses with their bodies. Really? So they really aggressive. They're easily squashable and breakable bones in human flesh up against a fucking bus. Like, you hit that accelerator, you'll smush them, and there is a significant portion of this so-called nation that will cheer you the fuck on. Are you shitting me?
We have to uphold the laws that we swore to protect. Putting on this uniform is no joke. Obviously, this badge that I have here on my chest weighs 3,000 pounds, so to speak.
His badge weighs 3,000 pounds. What about the people trying to carry what little bit of luggage they have? Or is Steve King carrying a ton of marijuana so they have calves like cantaloupes? Do you have a badge like cantaloupes? You cantaloupe motherfucker.
A lot of responsibilities come with this badge and this uniform.
The job already...
Yeah, like... paying your bills. That's the only reason why you're there. All right? You're not at that job because I love America, man, and I just want to do Americanized things and lock down the borders, man. It's cuz you have bills, and it's probably a pretty you probably get paid a pretty decent chunk of change to oppress folks and to be a fucking rapist. You fuck.
Bad weighs 300 pounds.
Ready comes with dangerous risks because not everyone who crosses into the U.S. illegally wants to get caught. Take a look at this MS-13 gang member apprehended earlier this week.
So they're just showing a I'm going to link this in the post of this episode. They're just showing a flabby brown body with tattoos on it, and just said, take a look at this. If that's supposed to be threatening, it's not working. I am not scared of that body. No. So take a look at this MS-13 gang member.
Take dangerous risks, because not everyone who crosses into the U.S. illegally wants to get caught. Take a look at this MS-13 gang member.
I'm taking a look at this MS-13 gang member. I have it paused and I'm trying to look. It looks like words on it. I think I see Loca. And that looks like a 12, not a 13, but all right. And then that's on his belly. And on his chest, that looks more like a, is that an 18 or a 13?
Apprehended earlier this week.
Yeah, that's an
62.
That's an 18 on his chest. So he was apprehended earlier this week, and he's really scary. Oh my gosh. Like, I mean, really, like, look at it. He looks like the fictional character Hank Hill. Like, I'm not afraid of that.
People just pulled from an Edinburgh stash house.
Wait a second. Now here's another one. And look at this fact, though, right? So they have only his body and not his face cropped out of that picture. And then they show another image, and they're like, look at these guys in this stash house. Their faces are all blurred out. If these are super dangerous criminals that we need to be scared of, shouldn't we know what their faces look like? Come on, K-View. Who else is in the comment section? That's Ruth Ann Loco up in the joint. Said, I hate how the news systems are trying to humanize the ICE agents and Border Patrol agents. Oh, yes. And I gotta tell you, let's remember, you know, the word propaganda, you know, without having a dictionary in front of me, you know, it's just, you know, covering news stories in a way that that tries to make folks, you know, get down with your side, with your point of view, if you will. So in that respect, I am a propagandist, and I want more people to hate how this news agency does their propaganda. And also, I want people to be more down with this Emperor William type shit, you know? Emperor William got something for these Border Patrol agents and ICE agents.
And a four-month-old baby rescued after a Honduran man admitted the baby wasn't his, but he was using the child to avoid deportation.
So when you come across these family units on this side of a border as an EMT, what kind of physical conditions are they in?
Oftentimes, these people have been, they've been staged in stash houses. And again, they've made that treacherous journey for weeks, sometimes even months. Sometimes the folks that we come across, they haven't eaten in days. They haven't had a sip of water in days.
Luis has saved lives.
Oh, man, he saved. They just show a picture of him over somebody. He saved lives. You sure about that one? I want a list of the lives, and I want the lives saved to come for it. Have a translator, and tell individually how they have been saved.
Saved dogs, and just last week, helped to
That is the height of McMurrican propaganda. In the uniform.
Dogs. And just last week,
Hold up. That's it right there. So he's in the uniform with the badge, and it says he saved dogs, and there's a fucking picture of him in thigh-deep water holding a, it looks like one of them golden lab retrievers over his shoulder like a scarf. That is propaganda. That brav motherfucking O. God damn. They're on it way harder than I am. He saved dogs.
They haven't had a zip of water in days.
Luis has saved lives, saved dogs, and just last week helped to save 300 South Texans from flooded homes.
Okay, again, 300, that's the exact number, 300. I need to verify this. Because you're just showing me a picture of some dude holding an umbrella with a gun. And this dude's back. And they're near a building. That don't look like 300 shit to me. But I know my niggas from Antifa went down there helping motherfuckers get their eat on because people get hungry.
He'll gladly.
Without thinking twice about it. Absolutely.
Do it again.
Because we are going to continue to do our job for the public, for the nation, and for our agency.
For a lot of the agents, the Border Patrol runs in their family. You see, Luis's older brother works at one of the checkpoints here in the valley. And every single day, people try to sneak past the Border Patrol by walking around the checkpoint. In fact, a week ago, a Border Patrol agent was attacked while he was trying to apprehend a dozen people. Authorities say a Guatemalan man kicked that agent in the face and the chest.
That's what he gets. No mames, pinche malinche way. Okay, motherfuckers. All right, let's take. I'm gonna keep that link open. I need to put that in the show post so folks can see that video for themselves. All right, now down there in Atlanta. Ooh, wait a second. Okay, no, that's not useful. All right, so down there in Atlanta, a 6-year-old, most likely a little white seedling, they learned about separated migrant families at the U.S.-Mexico border, and this 6-year-old little feller wanted his family to help, and he had a suggestion. He said, "I'm gonna set me up a lemonade stand without a permit for a fundraiser." Which quickly raised more than $13,000 motherfuck dollars. His mother, Shannon Corinne Guerrero, originally set a goal of raising $1,000, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And the family spent a week preparing for the physical stand outside their home. Brigetto also set up a virtual shop, a fundraiser on the Facebooks for friends and family who couldn't visit in person. This is a quote from Brigetto. They said, "We've been working as a family to educate ourselves and get involved in racial justice for 3 years, and we still have so much to learn." End quote. They told this to CBS News in an email. About 20 families gathered on Grigetto's front lawn in Atlanta's Virgin Highland neighborhood on Sunday, raising $1,100. The online portion of the fundraiser raised more than $12,000 from more than 200 donors. All proceeds will benefit RAICES, Racists, a Texas nonprofit that offers free and low-cost legal services to immigrants. Guerrero started talking with her sons, ages 3 and 6, about the crisis on the border, something she believes all parents can and should do. More than 2,000 children have been separated from their parents in recent weeks and placed in government-contracted shelters under a zero-tolerance immigration policy. So far, relatively few families have been reunited, and the Trump administration has disclosed almost no information on how the process will be carried out or how long it will take. A federal judge in California on Tuesday ordered U.S. border authorities to reunite separated families within 30 days. If children are younger than 5, they must be reunited within 14 days of the order issued Tuesday by U.S. District Judge Dana... This is the Morning Wine Cellar. By District Judge Dana Sabra in San Diego. Quote from Guerrero said, "I'm proud of the parents who shared with me the conversations they had with their kids about why we are gathering." This was said in a blog post about the event. There's also a call for other families to host lemonade stands in support of families detained at the border. Stand for Kids is hosting a nationwide day of action on June 30th, which will benefit 14 groups that aim to protect immigrant children. All right. And, hey, there you go. See the wine cellar? We're not all fucking doom and fucking gloom. You think this is just a fucking sad, angry show? Like, I get sad and angry at you. Let me tell you. All right, not much going on. There's the homie Sly posted up on the joint. Folks checking out the Morning Wine Cellar before I go down to the factory and play my part in making sure that the world gets 180,000 more pouches of Sour Patch Kids. Very important things to be doing in the factory. I play my part. All right, and now something we take note of and we point out is these mass shooters, particularly these white fellers and their misogyny that they got going on with them. Oh, excuse me. And so this is Maureen Callahan on the New York Post. I think we've read Maureen Callahan's stuff before. And Maureen Callahan in the New York Post puts up, the suspect in today's Gazette shootings began stalking a former high school classmate in 2009. The last time he would have seen her was a decade before. All right, this is but one of several mass killings motivated in large part by an overwhelming rage against women. All right, right? Yeah, dig it. I dig it. We all dig it, right? Let's continue digging it. It also says, the Gazette shooter found the woman on Facebook and sent a seemingly innocent message thanking her for being the only person, the only person to ever say hello or be nice to me in school, end quote. Note the self-pity disguised as gratitude. The woman didn't even remember him, yet he stalked her relentlessly. She went to the police. She told them, this guy is your next mass shooter. That's not in a quote, so I don't know if she said that straight up verbatim. The Toronto mass shooter who recently killed 10 and injured 15 in a van attack, identified as an incel, the involuntary celibate, posting that the rebellion has already begun. He praised fellow incel who killed 6 people in 2014 in Santa Barbara. And fun fact, Phoenix Collider made a thread about that, like, you know, like right when it was really cracking off, and her thread was so popping because the men fellers did not like it, that her page was actually trending on Facebook. Like, it was in the trending thing, was, hey, check out this Phoenix Collider. Like, it was trending for like 6 hours on the Facebook. And in that thread is where the hashtag not all men came from some of the homegirls going in there and clowning the fellers in there. Like, the hashtag not all men came from a Phoenix Collider thread that was trending. Because Phoenix Collider is a captivating feather mucker. The Parkland High School shooter, this is back to the article from Maureen Callahan. The Parkland High School shooter also idolized the Santa Barbara killer. Quote, my first response to this kind of sexual frustration was the Unabomber case, says a retired FBI profiler, James R. Fitzgerald. He was tasked with reading every single thought that Ted Kaczynski put to paper. Quote, there was a lot of vented frustration with his lack of intimate sexual relations with a female. He was in his 50s and still a virgin. End quote. Dr. Park Dietz points to two fairly recent examples, the Boston Bombers, two brothers who fought over the younger's desire to be sexually active, and the shooter who, I think they might have more going on in their heads than that, and the shooter who killed 9 parishioners in a Christian church in 2015. In that case, he accused black men of raping our women. Hold the fuck up. That was when I stopped and said, I want to make this part of show notes, because this is that shit that white liberals, white feminists do. All right. Now, look, keep in mind, how do they describe Dylann Roof's ass? The shooter who killed 9 parishioners in a Charleston church. The white man who murdered 9 black people at a historical black church, a socio-political historical black church. And he said they're raping our women. Which, that's more benevolent sexism than anything. Keep in mind, Dylann Roof was 19, and that's also part of propaganda, because he would just read websites that posted mugshots of black men accused of harming white women. I always say accused because white women lie about black men. It's an age-old tradition. Hell, it's recreational. All right? No. How about let's not dump white supremacist murders in with white-on-white crime? All right? White people killing each other, that's their business. Let them go do it. I prefer they do it in Europe. But that's their business. That shit Dylann Roof did, that was not some fucking, I can't get a girlfriend, I'ma go shoot niggers. No. Dylann Roof was gonna go shoot some black people any damn way. Hell. And he had a black friend. So nah, Maureen Callahan. Full of shit. Can't trust fucking white feminists, white liberals. Can't fuck with you. White progressives? I kind of fuck with y'all niggas a little bit. White anti-socialist, Antifa niggas. I fuck with y'all niggas a little bit. But white liberals, white feminists, fuck out of here with your bullshit. Maureen Callahan in this opinion piece on the New York Post. All right. I think that is sufficiently morning wine cellary. Make sure there is nothing missed. And no, there is not. All right. And paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Have a good one.